Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. The president gets praise for his Nobel Prize speech from Newt Gingrich and Sarah Palin. According to reports, though unemployment remains reduced from its highest point, first-time jobless claims are up. Was anyone surprised? A Democratic congressman tells Dick Cheney to STFU. That's shut the... Why I like the Senate's version of the health care reform bill, even without a public option, and you might not. Here's a hint. You might be younger than I am, and this was originally my idea, sort of. The Tea Party, as a party, has made it into public opinion polls. You heard it here first, but not last. Tiger Woods announces he wasn't doing anything wrong with all those women. He was just figuring out a better way to sink his putts. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. This is Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That's me. Well, thank you for joining us. We have all of that. News of the Weird. We hope you liked our new musical intro. And we have a special guest who's very near and dear to my heart. Not my cardiologist. I don't need one. Thank you. And also, an endpoint essay on the subject of Black Friday. We'll be speaking, not quite of everything, but we'll be speaking of vegetarianism, religion, spirituality, and some other things that you'll find interesting, even if you don't agree. If you forgive the presumptuousness, I should have said that I think you'll find interesting. You are welcome to call in to join us in that conversation or about politics or just about anything else you wish to. And the way you do that is you get on your phone, of course, and then dial 347 area code 994-3796. And that would be how you would join us. And we'll be talking about all those things in just a moment. But first, that cup of coffee feels so great in your hands. The aroma goes right to your brain as you breathe it in. The cabin's warming up for the family because you had the foresight to get the fireplace going. And now the smell of that wood is mixing with your coffee. It took time and work to get to the point that you could just get up and go to your cabin whenever you wanted to. But it also took being smart. You were smart enough, for example, to know that if you're in business and have a website, you're really in business when you're also blogging. You went to jeffonblogging.blogspot.com and chose Blog Wizardry to write your blogs for you. It was inexpensive, it was well done, and it increased traffic to your website and your company. Even though the cabin's getting nice and toasty, you can hear the wind blowing through the trees and get a sense of the brisk outside air. What was that noise? You go to the window. It's a doe and her fawn. It's going to be a good day. Blog Wizardry, jeffonblogging.blogspot.com. And we're back. Wanted to talk about some of those stories. The congressman, first of all, who made that suggestion to former Vice President Dick Cheney, the suggestion being STFU, or shut the blank up, was talking about Cheney's criticism of Obama for giving civil trials to suspected terrorists. The congressman is Alan Grayson, who has said some funny things in the past and has been very critical of Cheney and Bush and company. He was saying that Cheney should just keep his thoughts to himself, essentially. And he had said that on the show Hardball with Chris Matthews on MSNBC. The first headline we announced was, in fact, the case. Newt Gingrich and Sarah Palin actually both had very good things to say about the speech President Obama gave in Norway while accepting his Nobel Prize. I don't know how many of you heard the speech, and if you're interested in talking about that, of course, you're welcome to join us. The number again, 347-994-3796. The unemployment numbers are interesting. The numbers are not at their high point. But new jobless claims went up during this last week. That does not necessarily mean that unemployment numbers are going to go up. That's a function of a number of things, including those who are still looking for work, as opposed to those who drop out and become what are called discouraged workers. And I want to talk about that a little more in a moment. But new jobless claims were up, and according to the news reports, some economists were surprised by that, and I'm surprised they were surprised. The fact is, we've spoken about this on the show before, but for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, and for those who have also never been with us before, both of those groups, unemployment is referred to as a lagging indicator, simply meaning that it improves only when the rest of the economy improves. So although you've seen some reduction in the rate recently, that's just one of those things that sometimes occurs. It's not going to be permanently down until the rest of the economy improves. And some people are talking about 3 years before it gets down to a rate of 5%, which is what it was before the Bush-Cheney recession. But in fact, you're going to have scraping along the bottom. It'll go up sometimes, it'll go down sometimes, until the recession is truly over for a while. So no one should be surprised if these numbers go up, and some people have said it could go up to as high as 10.8%, 11% before it starts coming down on a permanent basis. So even though it came down in the last report, it shouldn't surprise anyone if it goes up again. And speaking of those statistics, a number of conservative spokespersons, have been saying that the unemployment rate is even worse than it seems, because what they don't report is all the people who have given up looking for work. That's right, except it's wrong. The unemployment rate is only meaningful as a comparison between two different points. So if the unemployment rate, just to make up numbers, was 9% last week and is 10% today, it's worse. Or 5% last year and 10% now, it's worse. Or if it's 10% this year and it goes down to 8% next year, obviously it'll be better. But in both of those numbers, there is the category of discouraged workers. And when you combine them with the people determined to be unemployed, quote-unquote, the number is always substantially larger than the unemployment number. So here's what it's all about. Unemployed, the people who are declared unemployed and the percentage of people who are unemployed are as a percentage of all of those people who are available and looking for full-time work. It does not include people who are part-time employed and therefore underemployed when they want to be fully employed. It doesn't include the folks who have decided getting a job is impossible, I'm going to stop looking, I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to move in with my parents, whatever it is. Those people are not included, and they never are. They've never been included before. They're not included now. No one's trying to play with the numbers, at least not on that basis. If they are trying to play with the numbers, it's in some other way. So it's all about the fact that those who are out of power and want to criticize the party and person who is in power will talk about these other folks who have stopped looking as if this is something new. It's not. It's always the case. Now, whether that group of discouraged workers is higher as a percentage of the unemployment rate, not as a percentage of total workers, because it'll obviously be higher when unemployment is high. So if, for example, making up a number, if there are 1 million people unemployed, and that's 10% of the, and that the unemployment rate is 10%, and then there are 200,000 who are discouraged and therefore not counted. So okay, that's 20% of the unemployed, the people who are 20% of the number of people who are determined as unemployment statistics. Well, if the number is 5%, the unemployment number, you may have 100,000 people, and that would be the same percentage. It may be greater now, it may be less now, and certainly the number is greater now, and as a total of the total workforce is greater. But again, there's no Mickey Mousing with the numbers on this. It's pretty straightforward. Talking about what the Senate is doing, it's very difficult to talk about, in a meaningful way, the health financing reform bills. One's in the House, one's in the Senate. The House has passed theirs. The Senate has not passed anything yet. There is an official version of the Senate bill, but that's being amended and messed around with. The latest compromise that's been reached, and which will probably be part of the Senate's health bill, is a plan to not have a public option immediately, but to do a couple of things. One of the things it would do is it would make Medicare available to all of those between the ages of 55 and 65. It's now available to those over 65, in the sense that all of those folks could buy into, that is, pay premium for Medicare and be treated, once this becomes effect, just as those who are over 65 are treated in terms of the payment for their health care. So that would be largely Medicare and whatever supplemental policies they would get. The other part of the plan involves a federal government office seeking out insurance companies and pricing that could then be provided to the general public. There are certain conditions, but that's the basics of it. And a public option would only be triggered if, after a certain given period of time, I think they're talking about 2 years, the plans that were offered by virtue of that federal agency getting private plans available, if those are unsuccessful at creating competition with other private health insurance companies, then the public option would be triggered. Well, that, frankly, I have mixed feelings about. But the Medicare idea, to be honest, I had, not on this program, but I had discussed that with people for actually a year or two or three before anything was introduced in Congress. The idea that I had was, and it was not original with me, I expect, was let's go ahead and start extending Medicare to everyone. What we start to do is take everybody from, my idea was originally a five-year increment. So 60 to 65 gets Medicare if they want it immediately. They have to pay for it like current Medicare recipients do, but they get it now. 2 years from now, it goes down to 55 to 60. 2 years or 3 years after that, down to 50 to 55, and so on. So that ultimately, after a number of years, everybody who wanted it would be on Medicare, and anybody who didn't could have their private health insurance programs. My guess in that circumstance is that nobody would want their private health insurance. But that was the idea, and the reason for doing it slowly, part of it was cost, and the other part of it was to see how the program worked and what improvements might need to be made, rather than immediately giving everyone access to Medicare, which could cause some serious problems in the sense that if there were any difficulties in terms of access or cost or any one of a number of other things, fraud, waste, and abuse, any one of a number of other things that could occur, they'd become evident when you had a smaller group of people affected by it and or affecting it, and therefore you could make what changes needed to be made. What the Senate has come up with is a little different from that. They're not talking about extending it further into younger age periods other than the 55 to 65 group. But it is a good beginning, and once it's my hope it would be, if they do make this part of the ultimate package, that people would see how well it's working for those folks, and they'd be talking it up and saying, hey, it's not bad, and it's terrific, and then Congress would be compelled to lower the age and ultimately extend that to everyone. The other thought was that in addition to extending it from the top, we could start extending it from the bottom, so that if you are a parent with children who are young, up until age 10, say, for example, you could buy into Medicare for them. That was my idea. That's not part of the current plan that's being discussed, but I think it ought to be. There are lots of children without health care. There is a program of the federal government called CHIPS, which is designed to provide health care to poor children. But as soon as you make a program available to the poor because of their poverty, it changes the picture of the program in society, and let me tell you what I mean. When you talk about people receiving Social Security benefits or Medicare, no one thinks of them as welfare recipients. No one thinks of them in negative terms, generally speaking. When, on the other hand, you're looking at people who receive Medicaid or welfare itself, people tend to be looked down upon by a large portion of the larger society. That's the difference between a welfare program, if you will, and an entitlement. An entitlement, everybody who hits age 65 or whatever the current age is for receiving Medicare or Social Security gets it. They don't have to qualify in the sense of income levels being low enough. They just qualify by virtue of age, by having reached a certain point. when you're talking about welfare, or as it's now known at the federal level, temporary assistance to needy families, or TANF, that changes. People are prepared to say that certain people who are getting it may not deserve it. But no one talks about someone not deserving Social Security or Medicare. So that's the difference in the type of program. So if you can, when you have CHIPS, which is for poor children, that differs from a situation in which you provide, if the Congress were to do so, medical care payment through Medicare for kids. And again, that would be extended ideally to later ages at a later time. So that's what's going on with I should have added, the reason I like the Senate bill in particular with regard to the reduction in the age you need to achieve in order to be qualified to obtain Medicare is because that fits perfectly for me. We spoke over the last 2 weeks on this program of the possibility of the Tea Party becoming a political party. And when we first discussed it, it wasn't being discussed. Since it has been, and in fact, it's made it to a public opinion poll. That in a moment. But first, to discuss the background, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and others are planning, and I don't know when it's scheduled at the moment, but are planning the first national Tea Party convention. And this stems from the Tea Party activities that were held as part of the town meeting movement to oppose the health care reform package. And I had suggested that by virtue of what they were calling it, the National Tea Party Convention, that they might be planning on creating a political party, a third party. Well, others have talked about that in a positive way since. I feel positive about it in one way. I hope they do it, as we discussed last week on the show with my guest, Rick Penn. Because from our viewpoint, that would be great because it would tend to split the vote that would otherwise be entirely Republican. But people have been speaking about it, conservatives have been speaking about it as the way to go. Great idea. Let's go ahead and do that. But that hasn't happened yet. But a Rasmussen poll, which is a public opinion poll that's conducted nationally, has come out. And what they've said is, in terms of the survey that they took, is that if the 2010 election were held today, a Tea Party consisting of conservative, those who would otherwise be very conservative Republicans, ultra-conservative Republicans, would beat the Republican candidate. Now, a lot of this is going on around the country where conservative Republicans are are attempting to defeat slightly less conservative Republicans. I believe there's a challenge going on in Florida right now in the Senate race in which Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, who has been seen as something of a moderate, is being challenged by conservatives, by would-be Tea Parties. People. And of course that happened in the congressional election in the 23rd District of New York a few months ago. The effect of that split among Republicans was that for the first time in over 100 years, a Democrat was elected to the House of Representatives in that district. And so were that process to continue whereby the Tea Party folks come to the fore, it might affect some elections in a positive way for Democrats. Although there is a risk that that would only be short term, that in effect the Tea Party would replace the Republicans, and those who are more moderate Republicans would have no place to go except to become more conservative or to join the Democratic Party. There may be some realignment coming up in this country, and while that could be scary, it's at the very least interesting. And if you would like to join the show tonight or when we have our guest, who I haven't mentioned, is my lovely bride, Alicia. She joined us a couple of weeks ago on the subject of astrology. She'll be joining us on the subjects of vegetarianism, which we both practice, religion, spirituality, and universal consciousness or new age attitude, and we'll be talking about that in about 10 minutes. So if you'd like to join us before that or during that, you're welcome to do so. The phone number to call in is 347-994-3796. A program note, we will be on again next week, the 17th and the 24th, but on New Year's Eve, we are taking a break. And we will return after that on January 7th. So we're still here every Thursday night, with the exception of New Year's Eve. I'd like to tell you we're going to go out and have a wild time and be crazy, but the truth is we're just going to take it easy and relax. And besides that, who wants to listen to a radio program on New Year's Eve? Although we could do fireworks, they wouldn't just, you know, they would just be kind of unexciting just to hear them. And I hope, although it's well in advance, I hope you all have a good New Year's Eve without us. And as I say, I will join you back again on the 7th of January. So we're here next week and the 24th. Next week is the 17th and the 24th, but we'll be gone on New Year's Eve and returning the 7th. I don't yet know where the show will come from on the 7th of January. I'm doing some traveling. I know I'll be out of town next day and for several days after that. But on that day, I think we'll be here at our desert studios at the stately Bushman Manor. I also wanted to share with you that a number of our business enterprises and other things are now all in one place. If you'd like to look and see the things we're doing, that would include the blogging. It would include our pet lane activities. It would include, if you're in the state of Arizona, judgment recovery. It would include a great many things. But you can see it all, along with a picture of our delightful producer and puppy, Autumn. And that would be at Bushman Enterprises, all one word, Bushman Enterprises.blogspot.com. You may notice a pattern here with Blogspot usage. That's because, frankly, it's a pretty easy way to get a website up fairly quickly. And I also want to take this time to just talk to you briefly about Pet Lane. You know, whether you have any children in your home, you probably have at least a furry child who lives with you. Of course, I'm referring to your pets. If you have a pet that lives with you, you know, they're really more like your kids, and we all tend to treat them that way. If you feel about them the way that we feel about ours, you want them to have the best food, the best shampoo, the best grooming products, and the most enjoyable and safe toys, real meat bones, and the best of everything they either need or want. You also want to have them available at a reasonable price. If that's your desire and those are your needs and your animal's needs, we can help. You can go to petlane.com/bushman. And you can also get there from bushmanenterprises.blogspot.com. And you can do that anytime. But additionally, in January and February, Pet Lane has a 10% off sale. So if you're in the Phoenix metro area and would like to host a get-together, you will get something free. Okay, I think we're back. We had a technical difficulty. Testing 1-2, testing 1-2. Well, we seem to be back and reconnected. Although it says the show is not streaming on the switchboard, but there you are. Anyway, we had a few technical difficulties here apparently, and it looks like we're back. But I don't know if we are actually streaming live. I'm guessing we're not for some reason. But the show is on, and presumably if you're hearing this in archived edition, then obviously you're hearing it. but don't know what the problem is. In any event, apparently I am still not listed as called in. Let's see. Hold on here. Let's see if we can do this. Okay, let's go back. Okay, we're back on. Well, the show is on. We are working, and there's some weird things happening with the switchboard, but apparently we are in operation. It is coming up on 8 o'clock. Aha. So we are going to have our guest join us, and if everything goes according to plan. Ah, now we're back on and streaming as well. And let's see. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay. We're joined now by my lovely bride, Alicia. Hello.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, I just realized there's a slight time delay from when I hear you from the other end of the sumptuous Bushman Memorial Studios, and when I hear you actually come through on the phone here.
Well, I'm going to close the door. That'll take care of that problem. So
okay.
The house won't be quite so sumptuous, but it will perhaps be easy.
Okay.
Easier to hear. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And I should mention that this is kind of a family affair. Our producer, Autumn Bushman, is between where the two of us are in our house. And she just turned her back on me and is walking away. So she's left the job for the moment. So there's another, she, I think, is probably responsible for her being disconnected earlier, I'm guessing. Anyway, we were going to talk about a number of things. And the first thing I wanted to touch upon with you is vegetarianism. We are both vegetarians.
Yes, we are, and have been for quite a long while.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
go ahead. And you have actually been somewhat longer than I have, but I have been for a number of years as well.
Mm-hmm. And I came to it in a different way, in the sense that I came to it for health reasons. Initially, because I was concerned about eating animal protein. We had actually been off beef for a long time before I became a vegetarian, and you came to it later, partly for good health and also partly for spiritual reasons, basically, right?
Yes, that's absolutely true, and it was a feeling of a further recognition on my part that I myself was an animal and that I was contributing to the pain and suffering not only of the animals but of the earth, because of the fact that the way animals are processed in this country is very destructive to our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also had an increasing sensitivity to the pain that animals feel over the years as I've become a more spiritual, evolved being, just sort of in the process of being alive. And I have made the decision that I do not want to cause pain, either to or destruction to our environment, and certainly
mm-hmm.
not to the creatures that are a part of us and we of them.
Yeah. Well, let me talk for a moment about the environment. And I will add that it was after I became a vegetarian for health purposes, health enhancement, that I got to the point of not wanting to see animals suffer. I wasn't there at first, to be honest. I mean, no one ever wants anyone to suffer, or any animal or human to suffer, ideally. But I really came to the ethics of it, you know, substantially later than the health focus. But and you know, and now we're members of PETA, you know, all that kind of thing, as you know. Speaking of the environment, someone has said, I think it was the head of PETA, as a matter of fact, that you can't be a real environmentalist as long as you eat meat.
No,
and obviously
probably,
you're aware of that. Why don't you talk a little about that?
It's probably the most destructive thing as a country that we're doing to our environment.
You just cut off there. Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, after you said it's probably the most destructive thing, you cut off. Go ahead.
Okay, that we are doing to our environment
okay.
is in fact...
Okay, you're breaking up, oddly enough.
Well, I think I'm going to have to let...
I don't know whether it's Blog Talk Radio or our phones. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, go ahead with what you were saying. Hopefully it'll stay. You were saying, as far as the environment is concerned, eating meat is the most destructive thing you could do.
Yes. The factory farming practices with having these thousands
okay.
and thousands. Hello?
Yeah, you may want to move to another spot because you're breaking up, or hang up and call right back if you wish, because you're
okay,
breaking
let's,
up badly.
Okay, right, I'm moving to another spot.
Okay, go ahead.
The factory farming practices with
everything
the
you just said about factory farming did not come through on the phone.
Okay.
Why don't you hang up and dial back in? Okay.
Okay, we'll try that.
Okay. Well, we are full of technical difficulties tonight, so she's going to go ahead and do that, and will join us again. If there's something you'd like to talk about to either or both of us about in terms of what we've been discussing so far or anything else, you can reach us at 347-994-3796. And it's been a strange evening in terms of the technical side of this, that we have not had this problem before, but tonight I got disconnected and then we couldn't hear Alicia, and presumably we'll hear her in a moment because I'm trying to click her in. Are you? But it's not working. Okay, I'm assuming I'm on, and we've had some problems this evening, and the next time this happens, we'll probably call it a night, and the show will be dead air for about 20 minutes, but Alicia is trying to call back in as well. There's something going on with Blog Talk Radio. I don't think it's our phone systems, but who knows. In any event, if she can call back in, she will, and she is trying to do that now. And 1, 2, 3, are you there?
I'm here, at least for now.
Okay, let's hope. All right,
yeah.
You were starting to say how bad eating meat is for the environment. Why don't you carry on with that point until we get disconnected again?
Okay, I'll try to get in it. The factory farming where you have these thousands of animals that have... are being fed this feed, which is completely unnatural for them and for the people that are eating the meat. And we can't even begin to guess at what this is doing to their bodies or our bodies. And the fact that there's all this waste going into the soil, into the water, it is literally poisoning the earth, the bodies of the people that drink the water, because even though we purify water, we can't get out the hormones.
Everything.
And the drugs, the antibiotics, all the things that are injected into these animals and then, goes into their waste.
Right. Let me cover a couple of things with the antibiotics and the waste. The antibiotics are given to the animals both to prevent or to overcome disease, and also because in some fashion it helps fatten them up. The same thing's true of hormones. And in terms of the waste products of the animals, and we all know what we mean by waste products, the fact is that it is getting into the water table, and a lot of people who are meat eaters and trying to justify it will say, well, all that fertilizer, all that cow manure or animal manure is great fertilizer. trust me when I tell you that all of the studies demonstrate you can't possibly use that much fertilizer in all the farms in the country.
No, it's polluting. It's polluting the ground underneath this, our feet, and it's polluting the water. And to some extent, because the water goes up into the atmosphere, it's also polluting the air. It's basically poisoning everything. And
that's
when
right.
you add to that that we people are taking this stuff into their bodies, we have, you know, this is really the first generation that is having all these chemicals injected into their food. We don't know what this is going to do to people. We
That's
can
right.
see that there is a problem with health. You know, there are health issues now that there have never been before, including early puberty, because of all the hormones that are going into people who meat products. So, you know, we can only, obviously, if you eat organically grown meat, which sometimes it's a little hard to figure out what you are and aren't getting, you really have to kind of do your homework, or there are some, you know, places where you can go, like Whole Foods and Wild Oats, where presumably they have made sure that this kind of thing is not being done to the products that they're selling. But still, you know, the fact that we are taking in to our bodies all this fat and all these substances, which are very hard for our bodies to break down, even
right.
without the hormones and the antibiotics and all the things that are being added, and the stress hormones that are produced within the animals themselves. When you take an animal and you shove it into a space where it can hardly move, can hardly breathe, and give it food which is unnatural for it, and give it a completely unnatural life, what you are causing that animal to do is to produce an enormous amount of stress hormones in their body. And when you eat that meat, you are eating those substances as well. And all of that is toxic to the nth degree in terms of how our bodies function. Are we off?